You know, one of the things that they have on the Today Show almost every morning is they'll have a little section about what's trending, and they'll go through Twitter things to see what's trending on Twitter and one thing and another. Well, I have a trend here that I've noticed. I've noticed that here at Neely's Bend, we've been having larger crowds for about the last 2 months, and I like that trend. I believe that's a trend that we ought to keep going. And I love the fact that some of you are bringing people with you on every Lord's Day, and it's just great to see you all here. I love you so much, and we all want to go to heaven when we die. And that's why we're here today. We're here to worship God. We're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And let's keep trending upward. There's not any reason at all why Neely's Bend shouldn't be a congregation of 250 or 300 souls that's strong, strong spiritually, strong financially, able to do good things, both in this community roundabout and also around the world. And I'm glad we're moving in that direction. And I'm excited, and I want you to be excited too. Let's invite somebody to come with us. It may be that you've invited them before and they didn't come, or they promised you faithfully that they would come and they didn't come, but it's time to invite them again. About a year ago, I preached a sermon called The Power of Prayer, and this Lord's Day I'm preaching another sermon that's completely different, but it's called The Power of Persistent Prayer. And that was kind of a segue into the idea of the power of persistent prayer, is to keep inviting. If you've invited someone, invite them again, and let's let them know that you care about their eternal souls, because that's what it's about, brethren. We don't want to get people here just to have a lot of people here. We have no calling in the New Testament to just amass a huge number of people just for the sake of having large numbers, because there's all kinds of ways to do that, but we're interested in the souls of people, and we want them to go to heaven when they die, and we want to be there with them, our friends and family and co-workers and others. My lesson text this morning is taken from Daniel. It's taken from Daniel chapter 10, and it's verse 1 through 14, and I'd like for you to turn there if you will. It's going to be on the screen up front. And listen carefully as I read this now, with the thought in mind that our lesson this morning is entitled, The Power of Persistent Prayer. Daniel had been taken away into Babylonian captivity when Nebuchadnezzar and his armies came through Jerusalem and carried Judah away into that long prophesied punishment that they received from turning away with God. Daniel and his friends went there as teenagers. Daniel has now been there through the entire Babylonian empire period of time. Nebuchadnezzar is now dead and gone, and he's been for several reigns now into the Medo-Persian empire. And so that's where we pick up right now. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That was his Babylonian name that Nebuchadnezzar gave him. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself with at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. There is a supposedly true story that was told about a Welsh woman that lived in a very remote and rural valley in Wales. She went to a good deal of trouble and spent a fair amount of money to get her house wired for electricity. But after a couple of months, the power company noticed that she wasn't using very much electricity. So they dispatched someone out to see what was going on. So a meter reader went out and checked the equipment and checked the connections and everything. Then he knocked on the door and asked the lady, said, We've noticed that you don't use very much electricity. Is there a problem? She said, Oh, no, there's no problem at all. We turn it on every evening to see how to light our lamps, then we switch it back off. Why didn't she experience the full power of electricity? She believed in electricity. She believed what the electric company told her about electricity. She went to a fair amount of trouble and expense to get her house wired for electricity. But still, she did not quite understand the potential of electricity in her home. And so she used its power sparingly. I suspect that there's many people today that use the power of prayer sparingly as well. Oh, they believe in prayer. They believe in the promises that God has made. They've even read and heard stories about answered prayers, but they still use the power of prayer sparingly. Our privilege of prayer is one of the most powerful things that we have at our disposal, the ability to plead our petitions to God. You know, I believe that many people use this power sparingly, because quite frankly, and especially as Christians, so many do not understand how prayer works and how God responds to prayers. And this is one of the things that I want us to see from this reading that we had in Daniel this morning. Many people either believe, number one, that God's going to do what God's going to do, so why bother? Or number two, that they regard prayer as the last resort, after they have already tried personally and exhausted all of their personal trials and efforts to solve whatever problem that it is they're trying to solve. It's sort of like the Hail Mary pass in football. You know, sometimes in playoff games, when your team is in the last opportunity to win the playoffs, and you're down to the last 5 seconds of the game, and it's the fourth down, and you're a touchdown behind, and there's no more opportunities. So you put all of your pass receivers down the field, and then the quarterback rears back and throws it up and hopes it hits its desired destination. Many people treat prayer that way. Oh, they pray every once in a while, and they'll toss up a few appeals every once in a while to see what happens, but in their heart of hearts, deep down, they really don't view prayer as having any impact on the decisions that they make every day at all. We have a great example in the man Daniel. Not only does Daniel leave us such a fabulous example by virtue of the fact that he was a man of prayer, his life was centered around prayer, but we're going to look at a particular episode in the life of Daniel this morning that demonstrates the very thing that we're talking about, the power of persistent prayer and what it can do. Daniel didn't pray as a last resort. Daniel prayed early. Daniel prayed often. Daniel prayed in his room. He prayed three times every day. He prayed when he was facing the lion's den. He prayed when he was facing the fiery furnace. Often, he prayed to God for wisdom. More often, he prayed for God for guidance in which way do you want me to go? How do you want me to turn? And he prayed that God would forgive the sins of his people, Israel, and allow them to return to their home. And now we find Daniel struggling after 21 days in prayer because he was troubled over this vision that he had seen regarding the future of his people. Many Christians would have trouble just praying for an issue for 21 days. How many can remember that you ever prayed fervently for 21 days about anything? I don't see any hand. I see a hand. I see one hand out of about 180 people here this morning. That's what I'm thinking. One hand here would really have a hard time doing that. But Luke records a parable that our Lord told out of his own sweet lips when he was speaking to his disciples. And the purpose of this parable is to show this very thing that we're talking about this morning, that we ought always to pray and not give up. Now, I'm going to say that several times before we're through this morning. But look with me at Luke chapter 18. Starting at verse 1 and following. And he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Get justice for me and from my adversary. But he would not for a while, and afterward he said within him, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Why in this parable did our Lord choose make this judge in the parable an unjust judge? Well, I think he wanted to teach a lesson. He wanted to show a judge that had no regard for God. He had no regard for man. He had no regard for his fellow man, especially not this poor widow woman. He was unmerciful. No doubt he was a tyrant of a judge, but yet at her continual urging, he chose to grant her request. And then he goes on to say, how much more would God Almighty do for you, his people? He's merciful. He's great, graceful. He's loving. He's caring. He wants the best for us all. He went on to say, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, he's long-suffering there. Jesus taught us we should always pray and not give up. We should be like the little three-year-old boy. I heard years ago Paul Harvey tell this story. Little three-year-old boy went with his mother to the supermarket. She told him before they went in now, she said, "You're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies today." So don't say anything about it. She set him in the little seat in the cart. She started going up and down the aisles. He was just fine until they got to the cookie aisle. He stood up and shouted, "Can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you before we came in that you couldn't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." He sat back down. They went back up and down the aisles, and everything was just fine. Their search for items led them back to the cookie aisle. He stood up again and said, "Could I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I've already told you you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." So they made their way to the checkout line. He remembered his father and mother's prayers at home. So he stood up in the seat and he said, "In the name of Jesus, could I just have some chocolate chip cookies?" And the people around about laughed that were in the checkout line. Some of them applauded. And by the generosity of the people in the checkout lines, both the little boy and his mother had 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies when they left there. Well, that may be a good thing, and it may not be a good thing. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that we ought always to pray and not give up. But why? Why should we always pray and not give up? I mean, is God deaf? Is it hard to get his attention? Do we have to keep bothering him until he throws up his hands in disgust and say, "If I don't grant their request, I'll never hear the end of it"? Well, no, I don't think that's the point that we're trying to make this morning at all. In fact, our text this morning seems to be saying something else entirely. Look with me again at verse 10 through 12, and I want you to notice that it says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand,'" understand what? Understand the vision that he had seen, the 70 weeks prophecy, the vision that he had seen that had to do with the future of God's people. He said, "You set your heart to understand the words that I speak to you. You stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking to me, I stood trembling, and he said, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Now, this isn't the first time that an angel sent from God had said these things to Daniel. In chapter 9, in verse 23, he said, "At the beginning of your supplications," this is an angel, he told Daniel, "when you first started to pray, the command was sent out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision." In other words, every time you pray, you and I pray, not only does God gladly hear our prayers, but God immediately dispenses whatever power is needed to answer your prayer. In this case, he sent an angel immediately. You know, the Hebrew writer tells us that angels are there for us. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But that still doesn't answer the question this morning as to why we should always pray and not give up. Well, the story of Daniel's prayer here in chapter 10 gives us at least one reason why this should be true. I want you to look now at verse 12 and 13. "Then he said to me," now there's a reason that I am repeating this one part, because learning is repetition. That's the way we learn things. "And then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Listen to verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now consider what he says here. From the very first day that Daniel started to pray, it was heard and an angel was sent. Now, this is one of those rare occasions in scriptures where God in his wisdom, he kind of pulls back the curtain a little bit and he lets us see what goes on behind the scenes. It's kind of like you go to a theatrical play and the curtains are closed between scenes and between acts. You think nothing's going on. If you didn't know any better, you'd have no idea that behind that curtain, props are being taken out, props are being brought in, scenery is being changed, the actors are taking their places. Well, this is in essence what God has done for us. He has pulled back the curtain a little bit, and he's allowed us to see what goes on behind the scenes. Now, if you've been in our Wednesday night class for a couple of years here, we studied the book of Daniel, and we studied the book of Revelation after that. So you already know that these kinds of things are going on all around us. There's a great angelic warfare that's going on in the spiritual realm all around us here. Daniel was told by the angel what happened in heaven 3 weeks earlier when he had begun to pray for an understanding of God's plan for Israel's future. The Lord sent his messenger with the answer to Daniel's request. The powers of evil, though, apparently are able to hinder the delivery of those answers that God is minded to send. God's response was immediate. But the prince of the Persian kingdom, which was a satanic agent that was more than likely assigned to the Persian realm, vigorously opposed the actual delivery of the answer. Now that's what he's telling us here. We saw the same thing in Revelation chapter 12, that when Satan couldn't destroy the baby Jesus that was born, he couldn't destroy the church down here on earth. In chapter 12 it says, he went to heaven and he took up the fight. And it tells us there that a war broke out in heaven. It was an angelic war. Now remember, Satan and his angels were created as God's angels and were once in the throne room of God. But because of disobedience, they were cast down out of there. But all of the angels were made with one of the traits that you and I are made. And it's the ability to oppose God's will if we so desire. And this is what they had done here. So we learn from this that just as we're able to oppose God's will, so are these angels. And so they fought with the messenger that God had sent to Daniel. They fought for 3 weeks. And he says that Michael, one of the chief princes, and we've seen Michael's name, Michael and Gabriel, I think, are the only two named angels that we see in Scripture. But he said, Michael, one of the chief princes, had to come and help me. But they'll do whatever they need to do that. God is able to overrule these satanic forces. When Daniel prayed, demonic forces rose up and angelic warfare broke out. So you know what that means? That when we pray, we turn loose the very powers of heaven. Can you see that? When you pray and ask for something that you need, you turn loose the very powers of heaven. When you and I pray, we have the power to battle the forces of darkness on this earth. When you and I pray, angels are sent to help fight to answer our prayers. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's one of the jobs that the innumerable band of angels has today, is to come here to help you, to come here and help me. Now, here's an interesting question, I believe. Daniel prayed for 21 days. The angel was sent on the first day, but he didn't arrive for 3 weeks because of this battle that took place. Now, here's the question. What might have happened if Daniel had given up on his praying? What if he had stopped praying on the 14th or the 15th? Or the 16th day, would the angel still have arrived with the answer? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that. But the implication is, maybe not. There's some reason that God handed down this little piece of information to us to look at. But Jesus taught that we should always pray and not give up. He gave that parable of the unjust judge to demonstrate that. Not because God is hard of hearing, not because he needs to be pestered into answering our requests, not because he doesn't want to answer us. No, Jesus taught us to pray and to never give up because when we pray, our prayers carry weight. Every time we pray, we unleash more and more of the power from God's throne. Are you praying for someone in your family to hear Jesus and become a Christian? Every time you pray, you put more and more pressure on that individual to hear what God has saying to them. Are you praying for your friends in their daily struggles? Every time you and I pray for that, we impart more and more power from God to them. Every prayer you lift up to God's throne brings power to bear. If you're having problems or difficulties with someone at work, it brings power to bear on difficult people and situations. Prayer is not a passive act on our part. It is an aggressive, active ministry. When you and I pray, we're putting our shoulder to the wheel, and we are moving the powers of heaven. And if you don't believe that, brethren, I want you to call me and come and see me, because I can convince you. I believe that prayer is the most powerful thing we have. Look, someone has said, I say that every week, don't I? At least 3 times. I don't know who said it. Doesn't matter. He described his prayer saying, "When I pray, I push." You ever heard that? When everything seems to go wrong, I just push. When the job gets me down, I just push. When people don't react the way I think they should, I just push. When my money looks funny and the bills are due, I just push. When I want to curse people out for whatever the reason, I just push. When people don't understand me, I just push. What does he mean? Push. What does push mean? It means pray until something happens. Jesus taught that we ought always to pray and not give up. What are you praying for today? What have you been praying for the last 21 days? We need to keep praying. We've been shown now what goes on behind the scenes sometimes. We have to be patient. God moves on his own time schedule. He doesn't move on our time schedule. Keep praying. Keep pestering. Keep asking. Keep lifting up those prayers. Pray for the work of the church here at Neely's Bend. You know, I pester God about that. I pray for that every day. I pray for the work of the church here. I pray for you brethren every day. Mom and I have a prayer every morning before I leave the house. We have a prayer together, and we've prayed for Joyce, and we've prayed for Glenn, and we've prayed for all of the people that have had surgery and been sick, and I want you to as well. We're prayer warriors. We can fight a great war. We can fight a great battle if we'll just put our shoulder to the wheel and say, "My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name," and unleash the forces of heaven. And an angel will be dispatched to come and answer that prayer. But we have to keep praying. I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you this morning. If there's someone here that's outside of the body of Christ, or if there's someone here that's strayed away and you feel so far from God, you don't know how to get back. You don't know if you can even come back. You can. Right now, in this auditorium, just step out in the aisle and come this morning and tell what you need, and it'll be done as we stand and sing.